In a few more minutes, they had gone through three other doors, across a narrow footbridge, down two more corridors, and another stairway, and stood finally in front of a small cell door. "This is it," said the policeman. "All the comforts of home." The door opened, and then shut, and Milo and Tuck found themselves in a high, vaulted cell with two tiny windows halfway up on the wall. "See you in 6 million years," said Officer Schrift, and the sound of his footsteps grew fainter and fainter until it wasn't heard at all. "It looks serious, doesn't it, Tuck?" said Milo, very sadly.
"It certainly does,"
the dog replied, sniffing around to see what their new quarters were like. "I don't know what we're going to do for all that time. We don't even have a checker set or a box of crayons."
"Don't worry," growled Tuck, raising one paw assuringly. "Something will turn up. Here, wind me, will you please? I'm beginning to run down."
"You know something, Tuck," he said as he wound up the dog. "You can get in a lot of trouble mixing up words or just not knowing how to spell them. If we ever get out of here, I'm going to make sure to learn all about them."
"A very commendable ambition, young man," said a small voice from across the cell.
Milo looked up, very surprised, and noticed for the first time, in the half-light of the room, a pleasant-looking old lady quietly knitting and rocking.
"Hello," he said. "How do you do?" she replied.
"You'd better be very careful," Milo advised. "I understand there's a witch somewhere in here."
"I am she,"
the old lady answered casually, and pulled her shawl a little closer around her shoulders. Milo jumped back in fright and quickly grabbed Tuck to make sure that his alarm didn't go off, for he knew how much witches hate loud noises.
"Don't be frightened," she laughed. "I'm not a witch. I'm a witch."
"Oh," said Milo, because he couldn't think of anything else to say.
"I'm faintly macabre, the not-so-wicked witch," she continued, "and I'm certainly not going to harm you."
"What's a witch?" asked Milo, releasing Tuck and stepping a little closer.
"Well,"
said the old lady, just as a rat scurried across her foot,
"I am the king's great aunt. For years and years I was in charge of choosing which words were to be used for all occasions, which ones to say and which ones not to say, which ones to write and which ones not to write. As you can well imagine, with all the thousands to choose from, it was a most important and responsible job. I was given the title of official witch, which made me very proud and happy. At first, I did my best to make sure that only the most proper and fitting words were used. Everything was said clearly and simply, and no words were wasted. I had signs posted all over the palace and marketplace, which said, 'Brevity is the soul of wit.' But power corrupts, and soon I grew miserly and chose fewer and fewer words, trying to keep as many as possible for myself. I had new signs posted which said, 'An ill-chosen word is the fool's messenger.' Soon sales began to fall off in the market. The people were afraid to buy as many words as before, and hard times came to the kingdom. But still I grew more and more miserly. Soon there were so few words chosen that hardly anything could be said, and even casual conversation became difficult. Again I had new signs posted which said, 'Speak fitly or be silent wisely.' And finally I had even these replaced by ones which read simply, 'Silence is golden.' All talk stopped. No words were sold, the marketplace closed down, and the people grew poor and disconsolate. When the king saw what had happened, he became furious and had me cast into this dungeon where you see me now, an older and wiser woman. That was all many years ago," she continued, "but they never appointed a new witch. And that explains why today people use as many words as they can and think themselves very wise for doing so. For always remember that while it is wrong to use too few, it is often far worse to use too many." When she had finished, she sighed deeply, patted Milo gently on the shoulder, and began knitting once again. "And have you been down here ever since then?" asked Milo sympathetically. "Yes," she said sadly. "Most people have forgotten me entirely, or remember me wrongly as a witch, not a witch. But it matters not. It matters not, she went on unhappily, for they are equally frightened of both.
I don't think you're frightening, said Milo, and Tok wagged his tail in agreement.
I thank you very much, said Faintly Macabre. You may call me Aunt Faintly. Here, have a punctuation mark.
And she held out a box of sugar-coated question marks, periods, commas, and exclamation points.
That's all I get to eat now.
Well, when I get out of here, I'm going to help you, Milo declared forcefully.
That's very nice of you, she replied. But the only thing that can help me is the return of rhyme and reason.
The return of what? Asked Milo.
Rhyme and reason, she repeated. But that's another long story, and you may not want to hear it.
We would like to, very much, barked Tok.
We really would, agreed Milo. And as the witch rocked slowly back and forth, she told them this story.